Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we're going to look at the confessions about Jesus in the New Testament. There were quite a few, and I don't claim to put every one of them down in an exhaustive list. I think about this and the scripture that Hugh read earlier in Matthew 10, and something had bothered me, just kind of gnawed at me. When I was in fifth grade, one of my grandmothers, who I didn't get to see a lot, had come out to visit us, and she was sick, and at open house, she was sick, and she wound up having to, she got sick, and the talk the next day, you know, here we are, fifth graders, just dorky little kids, and some of the other kids were saying, "Oh man, did you see that old lady get sick? During open house?" And it was like, "Oh yeah," and I'm like, "Yeah, that was gross," you know. Didn't say it was my grandma. Never said it. And that kind of, I loved her. Loved her to death. But never, hey Eric, hey Bobby, that was my grandma. Never said that. And Matthew 10:32-33, and granted, this isn't a grandma, and Jesus had never done anything that was a little embarrassing, but he wants us to confess him. And we confess him in different ways. And I'd like for us to just look in the time that we have this morning at some of the people that confessed who Jesus was. And they weren't ashamed. They weren't scared to proclaim their knowledge of who Jesus was in public to man. Jesus had told his apostles, he said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." He wants us to confess him before men. Not a thing, "Well, I know who he is, but I'm just going to keep it to myself." He knows I know who he is. He says, "I want you to confess that to men." To go out on a limb. Sometimes it's easy to do. It's easy to confess that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God to you right here. It's easy to do that because you think of that too. But sometimes at work, sometimes when we're with friends, sometimes when we're maybe in places that maybe we shouldn't be as Christians, to openly say that. With family members that by saying that, you know, it's going to rile them up. But Jesus says, if you don't, the consequences of it. If you don't, I'm not going to confess you to my Father. Father, they're one of ours. But if we do, we get that thumbs up, that good seal of approval from Jesus to his Father. One of the first people we think of is the Apostle Peter. Ironically, he was not the first in chronology to proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God. But for some reason, we always think about the confession that Peter made. And in Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you? Who do you? We're not talking about everybody else. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus goes on to praise that confession. And upon that rock, the rock of that confession, not the rock of Peter, but that bedrock of that confession, that faith, that belief, Jesus will build his church. And he says the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Not against Peter, but that confession, that belief, that faith that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Before Peter was John the Baptist. John the Baptist announced, in fact, early in John 1, it mentions, I think those first six verses, it's talking about how John's purpose was to proclaim the Christ. And later in verse 29, it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, and here he is, he's with a group of his followers. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John is proclaiming to others, here is the Lamb of God that's been prophesied about, that we've been looking for, that our people have been waiting for and looking for generations. Here is the Lamb of God. And what is he? He takes away the sin of the world. And then in verse 34 and 36 through 36, it says, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. That lamb is going to be the sacrifice for them, and it's going to be the sacrifice for us in our generation. Martha made that great confession of Jesus. Jesus, the setting of this, Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, has died. And they are heartbroken. They had sent for Jesus, knowing, confident, that if he could come, he'll heal him. He won't die. He'll be as good as new. And we had a lesson about this a few months ago. From this passage. And Jesus delayed. He delayed in coming on purpose. Because if he had gotten there on time, he would have healed him. He's going to do so much greater than just heal him. He's going to raise this man from the dead. And he delays. And as he's showing up, Martha greets him, and in verse 27 of John 11, they're conversing. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. When he's asking her, do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe that he will be raised? Yes. I believe that you are the Son of God. And you've got that power. She makes that great confession. Not a follower. Martha, John the Baptist, Peter, they saw who Jesus was. They lived their life for it. But an outsider, the centurion and the people at the foot of the cross. Jesus hung on the cross, what was it? 6 hours. An agonizing death. And we've had some studies before about some of the things that were taking place while Jesus was on the cross. The earthquake. The darkness all over the land during the middle of the day. And when Jesus had died, in verse 54, it says, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. These are people that hadn't followed him. They had probably, I am assuming, been responsible for guarding numerous executions over their time of duty. Numerous. This has never happened before. Here's a guy that people were saying was the Son of God. And then they see what happened. It convinced them. They weren't followers of him, but they saw the evidences. And doesn't that show the importance of us to show our friends and neighbors and strangers the evidences of Jesus as the Son of God? Because people that didn't follow him, once they saw the evidence, they saw that he was the Son of God. Thomas. We've talked numerous times before. Poor Thomas gets a bad rap. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. This is not a common occurrence, a guy being dead in the grave for 3 days and resurrected, even though Jesus had told him. It's not a common occurrence. Somebody, you know, I can see Thomas's view. Not, you know, somebody else might have been emotional about it. Maybe they wanted to see it. You know, I didn't see it myself. And when I can put my fingers in those holes and put my hand in his side, then I'll know. I know he said he was going to rise. And in John 20:28, after Jesus took his hands and did that very thing, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He saw for himself, not the hearsay of others. He was convinced. And he made that great confession, proclamation to Jesus. The demons. Demons proclaimed who Jesus was. Again, kind of like the centurions, not followers. It's easy for his followers to see him for who he is. And what is it in James where James writes that the demons believe and they tremble? They even made the confession. In Mark, the first chapter, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out saying, let us alone. What have you to do? What do have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. They saw it. Demons knew who Jesus was. Jesus himself. you don't have to, you can be like Thomas and not necessarily believe other people. But Jesus himself said who he was. When he was conversing with the woman at the well about worship and about the coming Savior, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." She was confident of that. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Amen. Jesus himself proclaimed who he was. And this would have a great impact on her. Jesus' works, not only people, his actions made the confession of who he was. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. His very works, his actions, his behavior, the way he conducted himself, his miracles, made that great proclamation to everybody that would have witnessed it. He's different. Nobody does this. They had never seen a man that had been blind from birth receive sight. They had never seen a man be raised from the dead. They had never seen a lame man be healed instantly. His works bore witness of him. The Holy Spirit bore witness of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15:26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." The Spirit testifies and confesses Jesus. Will you believe God? May not believe the others. Will you believe God? Confess. If God himself said the confession of Jesus. Some people say, "Well, if I heard God himself say it." Well, God did do that. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I wonder how the impact that had on them. Could you imagine hearing that voice? That's not something that happens every day. It's not a common occurrence. Of all the voices in my head, I've never heard God speak like that. Got lots of voices rattling around up there, but never the voice of God. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It also kind of drives the point home how important baptism is. Because he says he's pleased with his obedience of baptism. And then at the Transfiguration, he says something very similar. "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" Hear him. The things he says, you listen to. That's coming from God. Later on, after the church was established, we see the Ethiopian eunuch, before he was baptized, making that great confession. When people come forward and request to be baptized, we ask them to make that confession before men. And men is generic. It's not just, you know, ladies, you got to leave. Men and women. When before people are baptized, we ask them, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And they respond. The same thing happened with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As the gospel plan of salvation had been presented to the eunuch, it clicks with him. When he realizes what he has to do to be saved, in verse 36 it says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I'm putting the two and two together. We're studying from the scriptures. You're teaching me, Philip. Here's water. Can I be baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we know the rest of the story, how they went down into the water, baptized him, and he came out rejoicing. Hopefully, like every one of us did when we were baptized. And us. We are told to make that confession, and it takes us right back, full circle, to Matthew 10. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, this is Jesus talking, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I want him to say on that great and glorious day, he's one of ours. Because he's confessed me before men. When we confess Jesus to men, one, it is a commandment. It's a commandment. It's not, a, oh, if you want to. We have to do that. It honors Jesus by proclaiming that we will announce and make that proclamation before men of what we believe. By doing so, it teaches others. It teaches others, one, what we believe and what needs to be done. It encourages and inspires. When we hear somebody else make that confession, however it is, whether it's verbal, whether it's, we make that confession every day by the way we live our lives, in front of others. Whether we use those words or not, we make that confession that we're Christians by the way we live, by the way we conduct ourselves, by what we participate in, by our language, by just the way we carry ourselves. What we do, where we go, what we say. And it encourages and inspires others. A family, as they were leaving a restaurant a few weeks ago, they stopped by and just kind of leaned down and whispered, it's nice to see other Christians pray. Stacy and I at the restaurant, we just a quick prayer. Didn't stand up. Can everybody be quiet, please, while we pray? Dear God, thank you for this hamburger. No. We just, a quick prayer, but others saw it. We weren't doing it for that reason. And you can do it, you don't have to do it out loud. We should be thanking God for the things we have. But confessing Jesus is important. And we do that before we're baptized, verbally, before men. But we do it, hopefully, every day by the way we conduct ourselves hour to hour. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Before you're baptized, you need to hear the Word of God. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and then make that confession. You need to repent of your sins, Luke 13, verse 3. Unless we repent, we'll all likewise perish, Jesus said. And we need to be baptized. And then that's the start of being a Christian. We need to then live the rest of our lives faithful to Him. Not become a Christian and fall away, but to become a Christian and live the rest of our lives faithful and in service to Him. The sacrifice He gave to us was tremendous. And it's our duty to remain faithful and a command to remain faithful. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need prayers of the congregation, we would love to pray for and with you. If you've been looking for a church home and have been visiting some different congregations of the Lord's Church and would like to work and worship with us, please make that desire known. Whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and sing.